Item 12, review of report on liquidity. Tim Show continues.
Sure. I just want to take a read of the trustees, make sure that we don't need a break or something before we step into the next two items here.
Is anyone needing a break? Doesn't appear so. you gave them the chance, right?
I gave them the chance. We've been going at it for a while here, and the next two items kind of go together. So certainly whenever the trustees would desire a break, we're happy to make that happen here.
Maybe so, after 12 done.
Sure, we can do that. Sean, if you can give me presenter status, and I will bring up the presentation deck here. One moment. There we go. I appreciate the trustees bearing with me, and as I try to make this look presentable. Okay, here we go. Now I got it. Can everyone see the presentation deck all right?
Yes.
All right, perfect. This is the review of the liquidity sub-portfolio. This is part of the annual review we do for each functional sub-portfolio. We're a little bit later in the year reviewing liquidity this year, just relative to the response we had to go through in terms of shutting down the office and the COVID-19 related impacts on the market. But we are here today to talk really about the structure of the program, of the FFP framework, the role that liquidity plays within that structure. I'll touch a little bit on the composition of the program, the role that each one of the three asset managers brings to the liquidity program. I want to go through the mechanics of the cash flow, touch on the annual funding plan that we discussed at the last meeting, and then we'll talk about some of the strategic decisions that the board has made and is going to be considering again in the future. So with that, you've all seen this graphic before, but really this is how we think about the FFP framework. The growth allocation, the long-term growth allocation is somewhat static. It is rebalanced using that diversifying program. So we've been going through that earlier this year where we took some of the assets out of the diversifying program, moved them into growth allocation as the equity markets sold off. Equity markets have rebounded sharply now, and so we're looking at kind of unwinding that, but the liquidity sets off to the side. And the reason it sets off to the side is it is meant to just pay the benefit payments for the number of years the trustees have selected, currently 4 years of projected benefit payments set aside in that liquidity program. So employer and employee contributions come into the liquidity program, benefit payments flow out of the liquidity program. And here on slide four, I think I want to really emphasize the fact that there is not a lot of uncertainty around our projected benefit payments. So the actuaries' projections are very close to the realities that we experience. Every month you see a report from me that says, you know, how much the projected benefit payments match actual. And we're typically within 99 to 102% of the model matching reality here. And so that certainty about the outflows really says to us is in terms of if we're going to set up a portfolio that's going to match that, there shouldn't be a whole lot of uncertainty in that portfolio. So the three manager structure that we use today really focuses on three managers, all using short duration fixed income, overwhelmingly US, not having a lot of other risk factors embedded in this, just to produce the monthly benefit payments using contractual income, some trading, but a lot of just maturing debt. So the bonds will mature, income will be pulled from the portfolio on a fairly mechanical basis, and that makes our benefit payments. The three managers that we use are SIT Fixed Income, Dimensional Fund Advisors, and Insight Investment. And this has been the structure that's been in place really since we set this up in late 2016. So we're coming up on 4 years of having this in place now. Each one of the managers brings something unique to the goals of the program, and we'll touch on that a little bit. SIT is here, they're gonna present at the end of this session, or perhaps after a break. But the SIT fixed income portfolio is interesting in that it invests in heavily seasoned mortgages. So they have a government guarantee. These are backed by, you know, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, but they just are very, very long in the tooth. So, you know, 20 plus years of paying out of these collateralized pools, and so they don't tend to refinance, because if people are going to refinance, they would have done it before we get there. With this one, we like the safety factor of the government guarantee, and we're just pulling the income stream off this on a monthly basis. Dimensional fund advisors, much like we heard with Acadian earlier today, more quantitatively oriented. They say, instead of picking individual bonds, we're going to look at the behavior of a large basket of bonds and pick individual bond behaviors. And they think they can pull that together into a portfolio that gives them a little bit broader data set, and it's not so reliant on any one individual bond. And so this one does rely on trading a bit more, but it's the algorithmic trading. It's how much safety we want in the portfolio, how much risk seeking do we want in the portfolio, and we're going to be agnostic about how we get there. We just want to see those behaviors. And so this is one where the computers matter as much as the people do there. And then Insight really just pulls the entire program together. So they are our completion manager. It's a buy and maintain portfolio. We take a look at the cash flows we're going to generate from SIPs, the cash flows we expect to generate from dimensional fund advisors. Insight then loads in the actuarial projections, and they design a best completion strategy here. So they are, again, a real core piece to the overall puzzle here. And when we put those together, we are pulling the bulk of the cash flows from Insight, a smaller portion from DFA, and an even smaller portion from SIP, but we have optionality about how to redeploy the SIP portfolio. And this just takes a look at it, 4 years. This is looking back a year, so year one is actually 2019, and taking a look at how it moves forward. But you see that moving forward in just a very linear fashion, again, addressing that high degree of certainty about our future liabilities. And I want to talk a little bit about the program characteristics here. So we said we don't want uncertainty. In bond world, that means high credit quality. And you see that this is all in the higher credit quality space. AAA is the highest. Investment grade really is AAA, AA, single A, and BBB. So this is all in the investment grade universe. Duration, we don't want to be taking long duration bets in the portfolio when we have a short duration guideline to what we're trying to match. So you can see these are all on the shorter duration side. Coupon is, this is what the bond was paying when it was issued. You can see that SITs is much higher. They also pay a higher price for those, so you get down to that yield. And that yield is really the story of what's changed since last year. We've seen yields come in dramatically. You've heard me talk about where's the 10-year coming from, 2% down to 60 basis points. And then investment grade coming in dramatically. The last meeting where we talked about the annual funding plan, we talked about the cost of discounting that new fourth year of benefit payments was higher this year because we weren't discounting at last year's 3% yield. We're discounting at this much lower current yield. Now the numbers you see here are as of quarter end. So as of the first quarter end, they're all lower than that today. So that yield compression really has been the story of the cost of maintaining these investments on a go-forward basis. I have a slide here for each one of the managers rather than go through this in detail because not a lot changes year to year. I'm just going to comment that the teams have remained largely consistent. The fee structures have remained consistent. The cash flows are not dramatically different from what they were in the last year here. So you can see at the bottom of the SIP slide, we pulled $15 million from them in 2019. We're expecting $15 million in 2020. With dimensional fund advisors, we pulled $169 from them last year, expecting $182 this year. So the small incremental increase. And Insight, as that completion manager, $309 million generated out of the portfolio last year, $325 expected for this year. So let me touch on the mechanics here on slide 11, because the mechanics of the decisions that go into this to get to the cash flows are important. They haven't changed, and so a lot of this is going to be repetitive for some of the trustees, but I just want to make sure we get it all on the table so that if there's any questions as we make some strategic decisions that it's addressed here. So the big touch points here are annually, we're looking at those new benefit projections from the actuaries. They don't change dramatically from year to year. Sometimes they're updated in the course of an experience study. Sometimes it's in payroll. But you know, very small changes. We want to make sure we have the most accurate assessment. We do share those benefit projections with Insight, as I mentioned earlier, and work with them to kind of craft that completion portfolio so that we're adding up to the aggregate cash flow that we need to make the benefit payments. And then while we do that, we top this up every July in conjunction with the employer prepayments. So we treat it as there's a natural cash inflow. We refresh the program using the annual funding process we've talked about, where we take a look at our best case scenario or our best view of the future and about where we want to pull money from in order to refresh the liquidity program. And that's that once a year process. On a semi-annual basis, we're basically looking at this and saying, are we seeing seasonality effects here? We want to, you know, adjust the model ever so slightly. And so we schedule out 6 months of benefit payments at a time. We take a look at the last 6 months and said, you know, were we undermatching, overmatching? Do we see any expected changes on the horizon that would cause us to make small adjustments? And by small, I'm speaking of, you know, changes of plus or minus $250,000 on a $42 million monthly cash flow there. So these are small iterative changes. And then we schedule those cash flows out several months with the custodial bank. So when we have a period like March, where we had to step away from the office due to health concerns, all those payments were already scheduled with the bank. They were already notified with the manager. Everybody already had that game plan in place. And so that is set up fairly mechanically there. And then monthly, that just kicks in and the benefit payments come into Sisera. I mentioned the annual funding plan a few times here, and I do want to reiterate, because I think sometimes this gets lost in the shuffle. The liquidity program is a drawdown vehicle. So we top it up to 4 years of benefit payments. Over the next 11 months, you know, we have those $40 million outflows, $40 to $45 million outflows. We get to the end of the year. We've got now 3 years left in there. We go through the annual funding plan, says, okay, let's take it back up using the actuarial models and the current yield portfolio. Let's take it back up and rebuild that portfolio to have a new 4 years of projected benefit payments in the bank. The strategic decisions of the board are really twofold when it comes to this portfolio. One is going to be the decision that you made back in 2015 when you chose to have 4 years of benefit payments in this portfolio. You'll recall at the time we discussed what does 2 years look like, what does 3 years look like, what does 4 years look like. The board chose a four-year matching size there. When, as Scott mentioned at the beginning of this meeting, as we reconduct the asset liability study, as Verisk conducts the asset liability study this fall, they will be looking at saying, do you want to consider different size ranges as well? So that's the first strategic direction of the board. The second, you'll recall something I mentioned in the midst of the equity market sell-off in March, the board does have the option of this zone two rebalancing in the investment policy statement. So up to 1 year worth of the liquidity allocation can be used for rebalancing into equity markets and extraordinary market environments. The board did not pursue that earlier this year. I did not request it earlier this year, but that is an option that is embedded in the investment policy statement. That's a quick review, and I understand it's quick, but this is something we've gone through a few times, and this is probably the most mechanically oriented portion of our, you know, the FFP construct. It's set up to not have a lot of degrees of freedom simply because we don't want to introduce uncertainty into this one. We don't have uncertainty around our cash flows. We shouldn't have a whole lot of uncertainty around the underlying assets either. So in conclusion, I would just comment that the portfolio is working as expected. All cash flows were made throughout the equity market stress period. We think the multi-manager structure allows each manager to bring something unique to the overall program. And we are going to be going through that refreshing of the program here in July, towards the end of the month, in conjunction with the employer prepayments that we expect towards the end of the month here. I'm going to pause there and just make sure that there's not any lingering questions that I can address before we move to a conversation with Bryce Doty of Safe Fixing.
Anyone have anything for 10? Not hearing any. So did I hear someone request a break or was that
yes.
just me? Okay. So before we welcome our guests, if we could just take a small like 5 minute break, please.
Perfect.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.